In this song, we have already expressed a part of our territory. And we want to believe from the heart this afternoon and come into the presence of God in perfect faith. You all know, as the hymn writer sings here, when the enemy's power threatens us and many a storm blows around us, we need not fear if we persevere in prayer. If we persevere in prayer, we need not fear. And the answer is, there Jesus' faithfulness, as he stands by us, proves himself a mighty Savior, answering an earnest prayer. Sometimes the enemy wants to tell us, the Lord has forsaken you. He is no longer with you. We have to decide who we are going to believe. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who do we want to believe? I mean, the Lord and what he has told us. We read a word of God from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, from verse 4, before we pray. Isaiah, chapter 50, from verse 4. Perhaps I may ask that we rise to this. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a disciple. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. I was mainly concerned with verse 4 and verse 5. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a disciple. May he do it now by grace. And in verse 5, the Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is your precious and holy word. I ask you, O Lord, to be present with your presence and with the anointing of your Holy Spirit in a very special way today. Beloved Lord, we are not here to hear people or their opinions. We are here to hear you and your word. You have opened our ears, opened our hearts, anointed our eyes, and we want to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the churches. Beloved Lord, may the power of your blood and the power of your word and the power of your Spirit be mightily at work in us all. May every other power and every other spirit depart, and you come to your full right by grace. Lord, bless us, and we will be blessed. Speak to us in a way that we may rightly understand you, O my Lord and my God. Look down on us in grace as your people, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I extend a warm welcome to all of you who are here, and we also greet all of you who will hear this sermon later, wherever you may be. We are joined together in the love of God. And as Brother Branham said, in the very end, love will only be in the bride church. The Holy Scripture says, iniquity shall prevail, and love wax cold in many. And the other translation says, in most. But today we are going to talk about the subject, the church at the beginning and the church at the end. I hope that God will give me and us grace and help us. True children of God are not to be paid with gold and not with silver. And I will tell you why. Because they were not purchased with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, precious and valuable in the eyes of God. Today, I may have to make some remarks, and I ask you to understand them correctly. Most of you who are here and who will hear this sermon are familiar with the end time message, and I was also pleased that some came before the service and specifically expressed how valuable the sermon of Brother Branham and especially the last sermon is to them. And I'm glad to hear that, because I know it is God's word. And you will see, at the very end, it will be revealed that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but have really followed the revealed word of God in this time. We are going to touch on some things this afternoon, and as I said before, I hope that we will understand it correctly. For those who have perhaps only recently become acquainted with the divine message, I would like to say to you, have patience. One cannot understand and grasp all things at once, but God will guide you into all truth. Time is hurrying, it is coming to an end, and we see that negotiations will begin again tomorrow in the cosmopolitan city of Geneva. Everything should go towards peace. And the Holy Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. We see so many signs of the times that draw our attention in such a way that only a blind man can pass it by, and only a man who deliberately looks away fails to see it. All others will see it, especially those to whom the Word of God has become precious and a revelation in this time. I would like to read one verse, the last verse from Judges chapter 21, before we begin with Romans chapter 1. In Judges chapter 21, that is the last chapter, in the last verse it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We know that God led the people out under Moses, and under Joshua he led them in, and that they later did what they wanted. And the time of the judges ends with this strange saying, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, no one did what God had said, but everyone did what seemed good to him. Let us not waste time, but go straight to Romans chapter 1. Here I read from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to preach the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here I would like to emphasize a few things. First, the thought, the gospel of God. There is so much that is called gospel in this time. Here, Paul, led by the Spirit, he wrote the gospel of God. And he gives the explanation for this directly in the next verse and says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel of God is based on the word of prophecy. It's prophetically aligned. And if we take the beginning, and it's probably the first letter that Paul wrote as the first messenger of the first church age, we have to realize that at the end of the time of grace, we have to come back to the direct origin, to the beginning, not only at the time of the apostles. If today we wanted to set a time span of 40 years of the early church, then we could take out a few years and find that false teachings about some things came in very early. But the beginning, the origin, was free from all human influence, free from all false teaching, free from all influence of other spirits. It was only the Spirit of God and what God did among his people. We know the beginning was in absolute clarity of God, without any mixture, without anything brought in from outside. Peter, even before Pentecost and since Pentecost, has ordered everything according to the word of prophecy and has put it on a biblical basis. In the later years came many hardships. Some came with circumcision, Others were baptized for the dead. The third said that the resurrection had already taken place. And when you read the letters later on, you see what hardship came to the churches and among the believers after only a few years of the direct beginning. I would like us to see the divine development very clearly today. The original beginning was without any other influence. The children of God, the people of God, the servants of God, the church of God, was solely under the divine influence and led by the Holy Spirit. Then came this development that we have just indicated. Now it goes back through all these problems, through all these hardships, through all these difficulties, back and back, until we finally arrive back where the church was in the beginning. Where there is no other influence, where there is no own knowledge, where there are no strange doctrines, where there is nothing left of what men have added. Now you will say, how are we to recognize this? I mean that this is the time and the hour when we should realize that this is what the message was sent for, to really have us at the very end where God wants us to be. In the meantime, and I think we are still there, I hope, not for much longer, we have to, and we will see this tonight or this afternoon, we have to recognize that God is going this way with us. And if He has opened your ear and mine, then we must not resist. And what He has said, that is what He means. Question number one is, do we believe only a gospel? Or do we believe the gospel of God as promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures? We will see that Paul, for example, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, there he gives a very special admonition. He says here, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now please listen to verse 4. For if he that cometh along and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That is a very bad rebuke. Three things in particular are emphasized here. When Jesus is preached differently from how he was preached by the apostles, when a different spirit is at work, as he was in the beginning, and when a different gospel is preached, you all know, Paul emphasized it in Galatians 1 and put the whole thing under a curse and said, if anyone preaches another gospel from what I preached to you, let him be accursed. You can all read it. So, it's a much more serious thing than we sometimes think. We as humans tend to maintain friendship, and that's the way it should be, but not at the expense of truth. Not at the expense of the revealed word. For Paul says, if I want to be a friend of men, I am an enemy of God. You cannot have both at the same time. If we go to Galatians 3, we actually find a very strange thing, and I don't know, but I hope we will be a little shocked today. Here it says in Galatians 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? This is about people who have received the Spirit and yet are called people who have been bewitched. Why I come to this, I will tell you in a moment, because I myself have been shocked in the last few weeks when a man named John Todd from the United States, who was one of the chief mediums, as one of the most famous men in these circles, and who has become a believer, and who has named some names of those who are in the highest position there. And I am the last one. You who know me, you know that very well. I have not named any names in the past. I have not touched any of them in public or in private. But I believe the time has come for us to recognize that God has sent a prophet with his word. And the Lord says, for a separation I am come into this world, The world wants to mix. God wants to separate. God wants to divide. This man has, among other things, forgive me, but he said it. He bears the responsibility. He has, among other things, named the sister of the ex-president of the United States among the highest rated mediums there is. And the fact is that if you say something that is not true, you can certainly be prosecuted. The reason why I'm saying this here today is as follows. I attended a congress not long ago in Berlin, where this woman, whom the man mentioned by name, was the keynote speaker. And it was a charismatic congress. I was among those 2,500 people, that's how it was estimated. I saw her at the front on the platform. I heard the applause, not just once, but over and over again. And I listened as she spoke of a powerful movement that goes across the whole earth. And someone, an American citizen, was sitting to my right. It was a mixed gathering. Many had come from overseas. And the man to my right pronounces in English the words, and that means in German, she is a witch. And I thought to myself, what is this? Now we come to a point that we are not interested here in exposing people, that you can all understand. But we also have no interest in closing our eyes to the religious mixing that is taking place at this time. We have to understand that too. And you know, these things have gone through my marrow and bone. I heard this tape in English, and I just thought, how is this possible? Now we get to the point. There is a woman which is one of the top people in the witchcraft circles in America. And she's speaking as a keynote speaker at a charismatic convention, and everything gets into a religious frenzy. Now I ask myself, when is God going to open our eyes to what it is all about? Another thing that has made me very concerned, and it's two or three things, and you all know, Brother Branham has emphasized certain scriptures over and over again, including Matthew 24:24, that these two things, the divine and the devilish, would be so close together that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived into error. As I said, I was sitting in the audience. I did not take part in what was happening there because I was not a part of it. But I still wanted to see what was going on. And suddenly, everything gets into an ecstasy. And it's, if you look at it from the outside, a wonderful atmosphere that you could say to yourself, oh, if only it were like that with us. But I do without such an atmosphere. You know one thing, and if you do not, then you know it now. The Spirit of God will only be at work in conformity with His revealed word for this time. There was another thing that shocked me. I don't know. I haven't gone anywhere at all in all these years, because I know the way I have to go and the responsibility for the message God has given me. And I thought to myself, why should I go here or there? I have what God has to give, but it did me good to look here and there. When the international president of the business people made the statement and said, the unifying thing among us is the teaching and recognition of the Divine Trinity. Then I actually remembered not only old sins, but also new sins. God's prophet, William Branham, received a revelation from God, and he saw a man who was to be his father. Is the sermon published yet? Yes, it's published. And he saw a man who was to be his father. He had a three-cornered club in his hand and was striking at a woman who was supposed to be his mother, spiritually speaking. You can all read about it. And then the Lord said to Brother Branham, this is the doctrine of the Trinity entailing the baptism in the three titles. Now the question we have to ask ourselves is, where do we take our spiritual stand? There is a prophet of God, not unknown to this man who made the declaration, who has been in and out of his house, who said by divine revelation, thy sister shall die 1:45 on such and such a day. Many have prophesied, daughter Zion, thou shalt not die, thou shalt recover and rejoice. And this man calls Brother Branham and says, listen, we had a prayer meeting and there were some revelations, among others, daughter Zion, you will not die, you will live and be set for a blessing. And Brother Branham on the phone just said, I don't know what was said there. One thing I do know, I was told by the Lord that she's going to die, and it's going to be on such and such a day, at such and such a time. These are not ignorant people. These are not ordinary people, but are in highest place, even at the top, and so to speak, are leading the people of God into the trap. But it has to be done in a way that appeals that reaches. The enemy has never come with a cloven hoof. No one has ever seen him like this. But when this declaration was made, that the unifying factor is the doctrine and the faith in the triune God, then I knew how much the clock had struck. And believe it for sure, brothers and sisters, and dear friends, if we do not fully grasp it now, the hour is very near when we will grasp these things. And if I have to witness it personally, and at that time, thank God, I did not know who the woman was who was being cheered there in the front, who was bringing the word, but who said nothing about redemption, said nothing about the shed blood, only about a great movement. We need a movement, but not something like that, but the move of God that reveals itself among His people in this time. I know it is not popular to say such things. I have nothing more to lose. I have lost everything a person could have in terms of honor and prestige. And from now on, I can afford to speak the Word of God with complete clarity and truth. And if out of 10,000 only 100 remain, then let these 100 know that God has sent His prophet and has spoken to us in this time. People who have heard the Word of God, to whom it has become a revelation in their hearts, they cannot do otherwise. But sometimes God uses people or circumstances so that the meaning and significance of something can be made clear to us. Excuse me if I make one more comment, and I only make it because I was reading the Time magazine on the plane, the biggest American weekly magazine, and there is a big story on page 32 from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm only passing this on because it touched me in some way to show the ways in which people can be at work and fool others into believing it. Here a man who is world famous, even in Europe, suddenly wanted to build a huge hospital, not only his university, where professors teach, but also a hospital. The city rejected it because many hospitals were half empty. And suddenly, this man says, or it is reported, money began to flow in after the evangelist told his visitation that he saw Jesus 900 feet high, that is in figure. 900 feet is 300 meters. I remember the testimony of our beloved brother Branham. He says, I saw his robe moved by the wind. And then suddenly he addressed him and said, Jesus. And then the Lord turned to him and looked at him, and he fell to the ground and did not wake up until the next morning. And he said at that time, It's recorded on tape in his testimony that he saw the angel of the Lord. And he said the angel of the Lord was taller in stature and stronger. And he said the Lord was not so great in stature and described him accurately. What I want to say here is this. Nothing pulled, nothing could be done until this man suddenly announced, I saw Jesus 300 feet tall, and he told me, go ahead and build. Your 3,000 partners will make sure the money comes together. $150 million, that's about 300,000 Swiss francs. Now that we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, I ask you, if God gave these men the great opportunity all those years ago to hear the truth, and they did not accept the truth, this preacher preached to 35 people year in and year out, was sick with tuberculosis and could no longer, and then was healed in a meeting. Divine healing of the body does not always have to result in healing of the soul. What God does on a person is done on a person, but what God does in a person is done in a person. And the seriousness of the matter is this. All people who know exactly what God has done. Yes, who came to Brother Branham and said, listen, the people of God believe that the Lord has ordained you to be a prophet. But stop all these things that you keep bringing forth. Why don't you leave the women alone? And so on. And Brother Branham said, how can I say anything but what God has commanded me to say? Brother Branham could have been the most popular man. The world could have been at his feet with such a great gift. But God, in humility, did exactly what he had set out to do. Why have I mentioned these three cases today for the first time in all these years? To let you know that all those who deliberately reject the truth of the revealed word at this time are opening themselves up to falsehood, and they must believe the most powerful errors because they have not received and accepted the truth. The Bible speaks of the love of the truth. One must have love for the truth. If you don't have love for something, then it cannot flourish. The love of the truth. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it cuts, we still want to hear the truth. For only the truth will and can set us free. Everything else will be swept along in the broad current. What would you say if you came into a meeting where everything really looked as if the Spirit of God was at work, and later you would hear who was speaking in front, who it was, and what kind of spirit was at work there? And strangely enough, I spoke to someone in the past few days who is very close to the one who arranged everything. And I said, brother, you all joined in. You all sang along. You all clapped. I say, now I'm asking you. And he knew about it too. I said, now I ask you. Are they not all bewitched and beguiled under a religious influence and can't discern it? When Paul writes to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? It is not a simple thing, but then there is a demonic power behind it. And do you know what God's word says? Disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Where are we at after God's word has been revealed and people have learned about the Godhead, about baptism, about the original sin, about all of that, and have had the opportunity to believe it, and yet bypassed it all, as if God had done nothing at all? I want nothing else today than for God to come into His own. And God only comes into His own where we as human beings can distinguish where He is at work. And I must honestly confess that since I heard this, the prayer has always been in my heart, O God, give me and your people the gift of discernment, so that we can really distinguish where things come from, and then we can also see where they are going. If they come from God, then they lead us back to God. Then they don't lead and they don't end up in an ecumenical council or world council of churches or in Rome. Then they lead to Jerusalem, to the early church, where everything is free from all witchcraft, from all enchantment, from all false influence, where everything is placed anew under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You can read these things, but when they are really in front of your eyes, then it looks quite different again. When Paul writes, who has bewitched you? And do you know who was bewitched? Those who had already received the Spirit of God. And therein lies the tragedy of the matter. Otherwise, it wouldn't work at all. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the same characteristics. The hands go up, worship ascends, everything just like before. And I ask you, you who read the sermons of Brother Branham year in and year out, what did Brother Branham see? Who is leading the church? And who is going ahead of her? What has been revealed to him by God? Who? Shall I say it? Of course. He saw that a witch preceded the whole thing. Perhaps the uninitiated will think today, brother, you should preach the gospel to us. Gospel is not skimmed milk. Gospel of God includes the entire word of prophecy and opens our eyes and hearts at this time to what God has ordained. I know exactly. I come from agriculture. I have endured everything. I put up with soured milk and all kinds of things, but I never put up with skimmed milk. I need a milk that has the cream on it as high as possible. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. It is not a skimmed thing, but it contains all that God has put into it. No one is going to leave here and talk about it or judge it. That would be missing the point. God only wants to help you and me. He wants to give us clarity so that we can distinguish what it is actually about. And when Paul says, I have preached to you the gospel of God, as it was proclaimed afore in the Holy Scriptures by the prophets, so I dare to say today, Brother Branham, the servant and prophet sent by God, has preached the gospel of God to us in these last days, with all that the apostles and prophets have left us in the Holy Scriptures. God has revealed it. And you will see that the calling out will be only for a small multitude. In the days of our Lord, there were thousands and thousands. And in the circular letter that is coming out now, I want to publish some photos from the meetings of Brother Branham's early years. Already in 46, 47, 48, not only thousands, but tens of thousands flocked together to hear the Word of God. Now, someone might ask, wasn't it all in vain then? Was it even worth it? Oh yes, it was worth it. It was worth it for you and for me. It was worth it for us and for all those whom God has addressed, whom He has called out, whom He has enlightened, and to whom He has revealed Himself. To all others, it will be worth nothing. On the contrary, it will stand in their way. And you all know, when you read Brother Branham's sermons, how harshly he sometimes deals with these things. Not because he wanted to, he had to. He was under a divine commission. He could not do otherwise. Please let us understand today in this service that the Lord is bringing the church back to the direct beginning. There was a first day, a first week, a first month, a first year, and there was everything that followed. Now we are going back. The last year will come, the last month, the last week, the last day. It will come. Just as it began, so it will end again. And then the question is, where do you stand? Where do I stand? Has God, through His sent word and through His Spirit, working in conformity with His word, been able to accomplish in you what it was sent to do? Has He been able to do it in me? I and all of us together want to ask God to help us. Sometimes I have the impression that God does not quite come into His own. And I was glad when Brother Schmidt said about 14 days ago, brothers, let us come together every evening for prayer. And we came together every evening for prayer. By the way, the brothers send you their greetings. And I tell you, we read only one word and spoke not one sentence, read and knelt down and prayed. I mean that the time has come very close, and I think that it should go through and through us when we hear today in this place about the tremendous mixing. all under one head, all under the influence of the same thing. And in the front is a woman who goes from circle to circle in the USA. And I ask you, we are in the city of Zurich today. Here in this city, it happened in August 1955 that Brother Branham was led into a spiritualist meeting, and before his eyes, after the formula was pronounced in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a table that had no nail in it went up in the air without a man lifting it. And the medium said to Brother Branham or to someone else, "The man who came in here does not believe." Then Brother Branham said, "I don't believe what is happening here because it's of the devil." And the medium said, "The Spirit says it is of God." And then Brother Branham could do no more. He said, "This is not of my Lord, of my Jesus, who redeemed me and purchased me. This is witchcraft." And you all know what he did. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he commanded that the table fall to the ground, and it broke into many pieces. Why did we talk about this today? Perhaps the time is far more spent than we can grasp or believe, and the mixing goes right into the circles of those who believe the message of God. Did not Brother Branham often use Genesis 1? Each brought forth after its own kind. God planted the different seeds, and everything brought forth after its own kind. God will bring forth a word bride, as surely as the word of God has been revealed. Everything comes forth after its own kind. The sons of God will be manifested in the end. I hope no one has taken offense at this. But open your eyes, ask God to anoint them with holy eyeself. We do not have much time left. As Isaiah said in the opening word, "The Lord wakeneth my ear every morning." You may say, "I have set my alarm clock." But the prophet did not need an alarm clock. He said, "You wakeneth my ear morning by morning." Oh, this fellowship with God, this connection with God, and then also the connection and fellowship with each other. But it must be a fellowship of the Spirit, not just of a Spirit, but of the Spirit of God. The Spirit who is at work in all the prophets and apostles. Yes, who is at work in the Church of the Living God today. Let me say in closing, in the time of the judges, as we read in the last chapter, in the last verse, everyone did what seemed good to him. But then came the time of the kings. And if you turn just one page after the chapters of Judges, you are in the book of Ruth, and there's Boaz. There is the first mention of Bethlehem, of Ephratah. And you can read that again in the prophet Micah, in chapter 5, in verse 1. After the story of Judges, God immediately began the history of the plan of salvation. And we see the line from which David and then later the son of David came. In the time of the judges, everyone did what they wanted. But we have probably left the time of judges behind us. Sometimes I have the impression that the children of God are living in the time of the judges. Everyone judges the other, and everyone destroys the other, and everyone does what they like. But then it was over. With the last chapter, with the last verse, it was over. A new divine period began. We have to understand that one period of time has come to an end, and a prophetic period of time has begun with a divine plan of salvation. And I'm thankful to the Lord with all my heart that we have not only a gospel, but the gospel of God. The full gospel, with all that all the prophets and all the apostles have spoken. And that was so in the beginning, and that must be so in the end. Somehow and sometime, we must have left everything else behind and come back to the first love, one in Jesus Christ, our Lord, totally subordinate to His Word and His Spirit. God can do it, and God will do it. Are you ready to go? Paul said, "Who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit because of works of the law, or because of the preaching of faith?" People who had received the Spirit were later bewitched, and we have seen the development. And do you know what else Paul says? He says, "If ye bite and devour one another, see that ye be not devoured one of another." Did he say it or not? Where is the biting and devouring among believers? Are these divine attributes? Is this the nature of Jesus Christ? Today, Paul would call into the assembly of believers and ask, "Who has bewitched you?" And you only have to read in the prophet Jeremiah 51 and then in the New Testament. They have drunk from the magic cup, and they wafer and sway to and fro. God has given us the cup of salvation. Let us go out of the times of judges and no longer do what we want, but enter into the divine history of salvation so that God can do what He has set out to do. After all, that is what we are here for, so that God can do what He has set out to do. Are you and I ready for that? Then may God give His Amen and the accomplishment by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. We are in prayer in the presence of the Lord. It is written in Moses that there is no curse on Israel. Balaam wanted to curse. He had to bless. And he said, "How can I curse what God has blessed?" And he even exclaimed, "He who blesses you, Israel, is blessed." God's people are meant to be blessed by God, to go under His care and guidance of His Spirit, to take His Word as their guide, and among them we want to belong. All of us here today, and all of us who will hear this sermon somewhere sometime, and if it is in the distant Brazil, may they be blessed and know that God has sent a prophet to bring us back to the beginning at the end, to the direct origin, where only God's Word and God's Spirit have dominion. We cannot do it by ourselves, but we want to be guided by God and not give up until we reach the goal. Be certain that God's Word has gone out to call us out and set us apart so that God can reach the goal with us. We do not look out for great things that men call great. We look out for the great God who reveals Himself in simplicity and speaks to us as we bow our heads and are in prayer before the Lord. I would like to ask if there is anyone here today who would like to consecrate their life to God, then raise your hand briefly. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless you. He will confirm the word. And when it is at the very end, but it will be as it was in the beginning, one accord, totally united in the Lord and with each other. No one says, this is mine, this is yours, all completely one. The earthly falls away, the divine comes first. And we go towards that goal. I know it. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart to say, as the beginning was, so shall the end be. We are moving back towards the point, and then the first love, the first works, then everything will be revealed. Let us pray together now. You can all pray and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you together that we may contemplate your word in this place today. What a grace, O God, that we may have the gospel of God founded on the word of prophecy. Beloved Lord, we want to proclaim you as the crucified one, as Jesus of Nazareth, as the one who is and who was and who is to come. We want to hear the gospel preached in the beginning and experience the same. Faithful Lord, you lead us there, step by step, and even if it sometimes seems so arduous, you still go forward with us. Sometimes, O God, it seems to us as if we are treading in the same place, as if our feet are moving and we do not seem to be moving forward. And yet, you have your way with us. Beloved Lord, here is your blood-bought multitude, your own inheritance, people you have loved out, called out, crowned with mercy and loving kindness. You have redeemed us from destruction, forgiven our guilt and sin. You healed us, O Lord. May your blessing rest on us all in a special way. We want the work of your Spirit in conformity with your word. Beloved Lord, do not allow your own to be drawn into deceit. Give us the gift of discernment of spirits. Have mercy on us, O God. Help us. Enlighten us. You have said, there will be light at evening time. Lord, it is a cloudy day behind us, but at evening time it has become light. The light of your word has shone. Beloved Lord, have mercy on us now, especially on those who have lifted their hands. You know their needs. You know what they ask for. Faithful Master, bless all who wish to be prayed for. Bless all who are in need. O Lord, bless us, and we will be blessed. Help us, then we are helped. Worship and glory to your holy name. Amen.